Hey, everybody. Welcome to Home in Progress, sponsored by Repco Light Paints and Benjamin Moore. You know, whether you're tackling your very first DIY project or you've been painting professionally for years, Repco Light and Benjamin Moore are here with the tools, the paint, and the expert advice to help you get it done right every time. Now, on the show this week, I'm joined by Patty Brummel from Midlife Revival, and I've been following her work on Instagram for quite a while now, and she's always got some great projects going. Recently, she repainted an old player piano, and the way she approached that transformation really caught my eye. So I reached out, and today we're going to dig into that project, the steps she took, the thinking behind the bold color choice, and even how a single dramatic color can completely change the feel of a room. It's a fun conversation, and that's coming up in just a bit. But right now, let's start with a problem that I've been running into at my own house. Here's the scoop. I've got a stand of 5 blue spruce all planted in this large 80-foot or so long flower bed. Now, I've filled that flower bed over the years with mulch, but that never lasts terribly long. Right now, I'm trying to fill the bed with weeds, and while that's really coming along, I mean, that's really coming together, it's really filling in the gaps, while that's the case, it doesn't look good. So I don't think that's my answer moving forward. So I've been debating what in the world to do with this big flower bed, and I've been leaning towards putting down a weed barrier fabric and brand new mulch. You know, just do that again and hope for the best. But then the kids and I, a few weeks back, went to Mackinac Island, and as we're walking around, taking in the sights, we scoped out a number of landscaped beds that featured spruce trees and various types of ground cover. And ground cover was not something that I had previously thought about as a solution to my situation at home. And so I started researching and thinking and digging. And that's what I want to go through in this segment. You know, all the things that I learned. So let's talk ground cover. And we'll talk about the choices that will work in West Michigan, what you can watch for, and why fall actually is a great time to plant them. All right. So ground cover. Let's start with options that work well in shade, because that's where a lot of people often struggle. My situation probably isn't a shade problem, but other people do struggle with shade, so I'll start with other people first, because that's the way I am. Pretty big-hearted when it comes down to it. All right, grass doesn't thrive under big trees, but native plants like wild ginger do. Now, wild ginger, it's a low-growing native plant with dark green, heart-shaped leaves. It spreads slowly to create lush ground cover in shady areas. It's also deer-resistant. So wild ginger, that's an option. That's something to think about for shady areas. Foam flower, that's another excellent choice. Produces delicate spikes of white to pale pink flowers in spring. It's going to spread via runners, and it's going to form really dense mats. So foam flower, another way to go. Canada Mayflower, that's a native plant that spreads quickly, fills in shadier spots where nothing else wants to grow. So there's 3 options right there. You're going to see, and in fact, my mind first was drawn to, you know, the classics, the ones that we see all over the place, Myrtle, Lily of the Valley, and Pachysandra. But each of these comes with some caution flags that I wasn't completely aware of until I started digging into this. Myrtle, for example, it will escape into woodlands, and it's considered invasive. Lily of the Valley, that's toxic to people and pets, or at least there's parts of it that are toxic to people and pets, and it's nearly impossible to remove once it's established. So that's a little bit of a negative. Japanese Pachysandra, that's aggressive. It can harbor diseases like boxwood blight, and that is a serious concern here in Michigan, where it's been detected in Ottawa, Mecosta, and Oakland counties. So all of that baggage comes with some of those classics. So definitely something to think about as you're making your choice. If you love that Pachysandra look, there is a native alternative called Allegheny Spurge. Behaves much better than Pachysandra, and it's going to give you a similar look. So those are some areas or some options for shady areas. If you've got sunny spots, Creeping Thyme is a great option. Stays low, smells wonderful when you brush against it, it attracts pollinators. You can tuck it in between stepping stones where it softens hard edges. You know, that's a really great option, Creeping Thyme. Creeping Phlox gives you a wave of spring color, you know, pinks, purples, whites, all of that, and then it's going to settle into this nice tidy mat of green for the rest of the year. Now, ground preparation, let's talk about that before we move on to other things. Ground preparation as you're getting ready to plant is half the battle. It's just like a paint project. If the soil is compacted or full of weeds, don't just poke plants in and then hope for the best. You know, loosen the soil, mix in compost if it's poor, clear out the weeds first. If you don't, your ground cover is going to be competing right away, and weeds tend to win those early battles. Now, once it's established, ground covers do choke out weeds. You know, thick mats will shade the soil and make it hard for weeds to sprout, but getting there takes time. In that first year or two, you're going to need patience and a little bit of weeding. Now, I mentioned weed-blocking fabric as one of my plans. After digging into it, I kind of think it's probably not the best way to go for this. You know, in practice, I think it's going to cause more problems than it's going to solve. You know, weeds will still root in the mulch that collects on top of this fabric, and the fabric, if I put it in, is going to make it harder for ground covers to spread. So instead, I think the better thing is to do a good job prepping the soil, plant everything closer together than you might normally, and then mulch lightly until they fill in. Now, late summer to early fall, one of the best seasons to plant here in Michigan. Cooler air isn't going to stress the plants, but the warm soil is still going to encourage root growth. Now, you want to get them in about 3 to 5 weeks before the ground freezes. Water them well, keep watering until freeze up, and mulch them lightly. By spring, you should have roots ready for big growth. Now, it all comes back to the right plant in the right place. So wild ginger, foam flower, Canada Mayflower, or Allegheny splurge. I'm spending your money when I'm talking about Allegheny splurge. When it's my money, it's just splurge. We cut that L off because we're not splurging on anything. We're not dropping any extra coins. So Allegheny spurge, all of those work well in shade. For sunny spots, go with creeping thyme or phlox. There are other options. Those are the only two that I had time to get to. All right, ground covers. That's just a little bit of info. Do your own research, but it might be a solution for some problem areas in your yard. I think it is for mine. All right, let's shift gears right now and talk about a painted piano project that I ran into online. And we'll do that right after this. This is Home in Progress, where the to-do list is long, and that's all right. We're not crabbing at you. We're not going to yell at you. That's how it is. It's how ours is, too. It's proudly supported by Repco Light Paints and Benjamin Moore, because home projects are easier when you've got people you can trust. And we're back. You're listening to Home in Progress, sponsored by Repco Light Paints and Benjamin Moore. And right now, I'm on the phone with Patty Brummel from Midlife Revival. Patty, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate talking to you again.
We had you on, man, I don't know how long ago that was, a couple months ago.
And it was actually back in the winter time. I know that.
Oh, man, how
it
time
goes. It was early 2025. I know.
This the year older I get, yeah, it just flies. Time flies.
Yeah.
Mom always said that. Grandma always said that. And I always thought, oh, come on. It doesn't. No, it does. Oh, my goodness.
It does.
So anyway, way long time ago.
Yes.
We talked about a lot of different projects. One of the things, you do a lot of different things. One of the things that I've seen, because you've got an Instagram page, Facebook, your own website and stuff like that. But I see you mostly on Instagram, I think, is where I encounter you. Do a lot of furniture refinishing, restoration, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I would say it just kind of depends on the piece. I'm kind of starting to get into more of the restoration, but it started as just refinishing, like with paint and stuff.
So, okay. Yeah. And you started that, like it was kind of a hobby, right? That it was just kind of your fun thing.
Yeah.
And then you had people start to see your pieces and say, hey, you should be selling this.
Yes. I first started having people who were, co-workers of mine. Cause, in my previous life, I was a registered nurse for over 30 years. And kind of started dabbling in refinishing furniture when the kids got older and kind of getting into that empty nesting part of life. And so it was a great hobby. So then I had people at work asking me, would I like to refinish this or that for them? Just little pieces. And just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, so you do a lot of this. I've been following, and one of the pieces that I really, really had a lot of interest in, I don't know why it really struck me, but I really liked it. I can still picture it.
What was that?
It was the piano transformation that you did a while back.
The recent piano, the blue piano?
The blue piano.
Okay, the navy blue piano.
So I want to know a little bit more, you know, because I don't know that everybody out here listening has seen that. I'll put links in the show notes so you can check out the
Please do.
The pictures and
please
stuff like that.
Me.
Yeah, so I'll put all
even
of that
for inspiration. It doesn't mean I have to do something for you, just to inspire you to do
something.
In
fact, why don't we give that out right now? Because if they're listening and they want to check the, you know, some of the stuff out that we're talking about right now, they can do that while we're talking. So how do they find you?
On Instagram and Facebook, I am just known by Midlife Revival. And if you Google that, quite often it shows up. I have a website as well, but that I don't use very much. But Instagram and Facebook, all the transformations I do are on there.
Lots and lots of photos. And like you said, inspiration, mm-hmm. you know, just give people mm-hmm. some ideas. So I encourage you, go check that out. Midlife Revival on Instagram, Facebook. This mm-hmm. piano, it's a navy blue piano, kind mm-hmm. of an upright piano, right?
It was a player piano, actually.
Oh, a player piano.
And the client actually said it worked. And it belonged to her mom, who has since passed. And she asked me to paint it navy blue.
So she came up with the idea
mm-hmm.
for the color and all of that.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have picked navy blue for a piano, but it works in her house and it's her piano. So, you know.
Yeah, that is exactly how it works. We've had colors, mm-hmm. you know, customers pick colors in the mm-hmm. store when you're working, and you think, well, mm-hmm. I don't know, that's certainly not for me, but it isn't for me, it's for you, so go for it.
Yeah. Well, I told her she had to go to a Repcolite, she had to pick a Benjamin Moore paint color, and I would go from there. So she actually picked, I want to say it was Deep Royal.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's other navy blues I would have thought of, but that's the blue she wanted. So,
well, let's talk about the project, you know, kind of what you went through, you know, what mm-hmm. were the steps? You know, people like to hear how that all shook out.
Okay.
So you get it. Yeah. What kind of prep did you do to get ready to go with this?
You're going to prep it the same way as you would do any type of painting project, basically. I mean, it can be intimidating because it's a big piece. And initially, when I first did the first piano, the piano mover guy, Ronnie, he took it all apart for me and I painted all these different pieces.
Okay.
And then he put it back together. But I didn't know if I really liked it that way. So I would not recommend that. Plus, it'd be very hard to figure out how to put it back together.
Right.
So I just basically, you know, first I gave it a good cleaning. It definitely had a lot of seen a lot of Pledge in its day, Pledge furniture polish, mm-hmm. and just gave it a really deep cleaning with TSP. And then I scuff sanded it. And then I did, as I was doing all that, I started to see some little like dents or dings like that, especially on the top. So I had reached out to her and asked her if she wanted me to, you know, fill them in. She said, just do the best you can. So I did fill them in.
Did you prime it? Did you use a bonding primer
or something
like that?
Yes, I primed it. Actually, I did a clear coat primer because she wanted some distressing. And I debated whether to do like a gray primer, but I don't know. I've done that with navy kitchen cabinets and I don't know. I just didn't like it so much. So I just went with a clear shellac primer. In the tricky areas, I just used the spray foam, spray form, so that you can get in those. But otherwise, you can roll it as well. And
what'd you top coat with?
I actually ended up using Benjamin Moore Advance. In that Deep Royal color, I believe is what it was called.
So why'd you go with the Advance? I mean, there's a lot of different products out there. Mm-hmm. Advance is a really unique product. It's kind of
a
waterborne. It's a hybrid. It's kind of like flows out a little bit, quite a bit like an oil-based paint, dries a little bit slower.
Yes,
but soap and
that's
water
what
cleanup.
I like about it.
So you like that flowability. Do you use that on other things, other projects? Is that a go-to or is that a go-to on this project?
it's a go-to on for sure kitchen cabinets. And it just, I don't know, it just kind of depends. I would like to say though that, and I keep putting this plug out there, Benjamin Moore Advance, I would like them to bring back their matte finish.
All right.
But otherwise,
duly noted.
I know, but no one listens to me.
No one listens to me either. But at least we talk. That's something.
Right? I know. Anyways, when I first started using it, they made it in a mat, and they said they didn't get a lot of people requesting it. So at least that's what I've heard.
Okay.
From talking to the paint experts.
So you went with a satin then?
Yeah. So I had to go to the satin, which with the darker colors, there's kind of my concern. I always feel like it's a little too shiny with the dark colors. And I think we've had this conversation when I did my daughter's kitchen. I started with the Advance, and with she had oak cabinets, and it was just too shiny. So we ended up
switched to Scuffex
because they make a matte. Yes. So I could have done either. I know why. The other reason I did go with the Advance is I only needed a quart size, and Scuffex does not make a quart size.
Not that was yet. The other I believe that is coming, but I don't is know when coming? That's coming. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
When,
that was my decision. I was like, I'm not buying a whole gallon. I don't need a whole gallon of this Deep Royal because I don't think I'll use it again. And she wasn't.
How many coats did it take?
I think I ended up I did two really good coats because I but I do a fine sanding between them. Some areas ended up, there was a little adhesion issue, and I really think it was pledge still, even though I had cleaned, so I did kind of three coats is what it ended up being because
you had
that
a small
reason.
Area where there was a little bit of peeling
mm-hmm.
or something.
Yeah. So
gotta love that pledge. Yeah. We see that on mm-hmm. like paneling too. People will clean their paneling over years and years, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know how often, yep. but then they'll go to yep. paint it, and yeah, it's tough to get it as clean as you need to. You can, but you do run into some issues from time to time.
I don't know how I missed it because like I said, I do TSP, and I mean, I do two cleanings too. So it was just a couple little surface areas up on the front and kind of where the books would have rested and stuff. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I don't know. She must have really heavily pledged there or something. It's the only thing I could figure out. Everywhere else, the adhesion was awesome.
Was fine, yeah. So. Let's shift from all of that, the how-to part of things, just to inspiration itself. Now, I know you mm-hmm. didn't come up with the idea for this one. You know, this was mm-hmm. from your customer.
Yeah.
But it seems like it was maybe a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. I talked about American designer Sister Parrish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Talked about her. And one of her big ideas, one of the main things that she stressed in her work is that contrast and contradiction are really what make a space interesting. You know, having elements that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe unexpected is another way to mm-hmm. explain it. And that to me mm-hmm. is really exactly what's going on with this piano. You know, you don't expect it to be the color that it is. And, mm-hmm. you know, for really any color, there's a handful of colors that you probably would think that's your go-to piano color. But anything outside of that really mm-hmm. does start to be something unexpected. Did mm-hmm. you see the piano in the finished space? Did you get to see it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually followed the piano mover over there, and that's where I took pictures of it. Cause I was like, this is the third time I've done a piano and I didn't get to take pictures.
Right. Right.
So she was very gracious about and let me do that once they had it all set up. And then her little grandkids couldn't wait to get at the piano. So then they sat there and so, yeah, yeah. So I did see it in the space.
What did it do for that space?
So she put it against a white wall. It was actually kind of a shiplap wall. And oh, my goodness, it just popped on that wall. It was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. And then she had a lot of just kind of more neutrals in that living room area. but she had some pillows that had the pops of navy and stuff. So it really tied in really nicely. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things, you know, let that piece be the thing that's mm-hmm. speaking, you know, don't fill mm-hmm. the space with all lots of elements of that same color. You know, mm-hmm. use a lot of neutrals, use little pops of it, but that can really yep. work. You know, what's your experience as you're working with your customers, your clients and stuff, if they're picking the colors? I don't know how often that happens. Sometimes you just mm-hmm. find pieces and do them.
Yes.
If they're picking mm-hmm. the colors, do you find that they're afraid to use color, bold colors in unconventional ways, or do you see people just jumping right in?
I would say everyone that I work with is pretty much leaning towards playing it safe and sticking with neutrals, but a neutral that I often do is black. So, and I mean, I consider it a neutral in a way. So
you don't see very many people branching out. How do you feel about branching out?
It would depend on what it is. Like, you know, we just refinished this upstairs apartment and I did green cabinets, a very dark green cabinet. The color is Benjamin Moore Backwoods. And in such a neutral space, it is absolutely, I love it. It's gorgeous. It just really depends on the space.
So when you're choosing that green for those cabinets, was that mm-hmm. the first time you were using a green like that in that situation?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So what was that thought process like? I mean, were you nervous? Were you concerned? I mean, because you're kind of pushing it a little bit with that color.
Yeah, I was. But I was, again, going back to contrast and stuff, the walls were like simply white, I believe. Don't quote me on all my colors. The floors were feathered down, the wood floors, I should say. We painted the wood floors. So I already had two neutrals and I just felt like the cabinets would have gotten lost mm-hmm. amongst all of that. And green is one of my favorite colors. And so I just brought in some darker shades of greens and Backwoods worked really good because there was a lot of window light. And whereas I tried it down in a first floor mudroom and it looked almost black in there. So again, you have to just, like you preach all the time too, mm-hmm. you got to get the colors in the space, put them on different walls, look at them at different times of day. What I like to do, instead of, I see people, you know, rolling it on walls, but I just took a big board and I painted it. I did this with my whites and off-whites as mm-hmm. well, is the ones I kind of had it narrowed down to. I painted it on a big board and I just moved that board around throughout the day to different walls. So I could just study it and, you know, just like walk in and go, oh yeah, no, I don't like it on that wall. Oh yeah, I do like it on that wall, or, you know, so that's my little tip.
Do you often find that when you do that, that the color that you sampled on that board, most of the time, do you end up going with it? Or do you run into a, hey, there's a fair amount of time where I realize I better make a shift and find something slightly different?
I kind of try to boil it down to just a couple colors. So it's either one or the other. Usually I don't try to make it too many options by then when I buy the samples. I'm too cheap. I don't want to buy too many sample colors.
So no, that makes sense. But you definitely do find that your first instinct might not be the color you want to go with. It's really true. You can see it. It will look different in your space than sometimes you think it will.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, like I have Chantilly lace here in my house and I absolutely love this color, but I tried that up there and it looked, I don't know, it almost like pulled gray in that space. So
now so much depends on, you know, the lighting mm-hmm. in the space, the mm-hmm. the exposure, yep. you know, what kind of yep. the light
yes,
you're getting.
That's
from
been
outside.
Very interesting listening to your exposure.
Oh, I have rambled on and on about that. But yes, it was so interesting and it solved so many of my problems, you know, things I should have realized ahead of time. But wow, now, you know, a color can look a little different. But the one that I talked about on the show, I cannot believe how different. You'd never guess it was the same color. from one room to another room, and it's just a Western exposure versus an Eastern exposure. And yeah, the color completely changes. So definitely do that. You know, check out your color in your space. What would you say to people who are, you know, you've taken some risks with color. You know, you've seen this piano, how that shook out and played out. If somebody's out there, and you said most of your clients tend to be a little safe, and being safe is fine, you know, if that's what's going to work in your space. But sometimes pushing the boundaries a little bit can create something that, you know, like that piano. You could have made that piano a normal piano color, and it probably would have looked just great. It would have looked fine in that space. Yeah. But now it jumps out at you. Now it's making a statement, starts a conversation. It kind of owns that space a little more. Yeah. So yes, we could take furniture and put a nice neutral or a nice safe color on it, and it will look great. Yeah. But a color that's a little bolder or a little stranger, a little unusual, strange is the wrong word to use, but an unusual color, unexpected color in that space can take it to a whole other level. Mm-hmm. What would you say to people who are, you know, maybe just averse to that risk? They just don't want to try it.
Oh boy.
Would you say anything to them? Or would you just say, yes, whatever you want is what I'll do?
I love to see their space if I have to make an opinion like that. Now, I did not see her space. So, you know, I just had to trust her. I mean, think about it. She'd waited 2 years to have this done. Mm-hmm. So I think she'd had thought about it.
She had plenty of time.
So, yes. But I prefer to actually get in a person's space if I am going to be recommending something a little bit more bold. So it's just going to depend on that.
I think for me, I guess it would all depend. It would depend on the piece. But one of the first thoughts would be, you know,
depends on where you're putting it.
But how big is it? You know, and I understand they're hiring you, and I don't want to rehire you to redo it. That's a different component.
I was going to say that could be a big thing. Now, for myself personally, I can repaint something.
That's what I'm thinking. I would gamble a little bit.
Yes, I did gamble a little. I've never done this, but until this piece upstairs, I have a secretary desk, and it was when I bought it many years ago from Talsma Furniture, plug for Talsma Furniture. It was like a hunter green. It was kind of a two-tone. It had some wood on it. Well, the hunter green just didn't work in our space in our condo now. So I did paint it. Another green, but it's more just a very lively, springier green, I would say. A little sagey, but not, I mean, it can pull a little gray, but yeah. And I mean, I love it. I love it because there's always hints of, you know, either plants or things that I have in my pillows that have that color. So
no, we did that with a desk we bought for probably one of the events that we ran years back. You know, we'd have color and design events. Someday we'll do more. But in the past, I remember buying this really inexpensive. It was a child's desk. You know, it's an antique, but it's not like it's fancy. It's a roll top desk, not fancy, very plain. But we needed a small piece for this little set that we'd built. And we're looking at it and just, oh man, did it need a ton of work, you know, because it just lots of little stains and stuff. And we decided, let's paint parts of it. We wanted to keep some of the natural wood. So we kept the desk top, the writing surface natural. And then we decided we're going to paint other parts of it. And we'll leave like the frame of it, you know, the legs and stuff natural too. Just the way it worked, that all worked really well. And we're trying to come up with a color. And we did end up going with, I believe in that one, we went with a yellow. And then we redid it later, a couple years later, and made it a green. But both of them were great. But what was really cool is we took, and some people will just groan, but this was not a fancy, expensive antique piece. But we got some textured wallpaper and a glypto wallpaper, and we put that on the side panels. So it's a nice
floral texture.
I've never
done that, but I've seen people do that,
And then with that yellow on it, or later with the green on it, it really took that piece that would have just been, it would have been fine if we'd have refinished it and kept it all wood. But man, a whole different thing. And then by going to a color that you just don't expect, I mean, you just don't see that very often. And so
I was going to say yellow is branching out a bit.
Yeah. We had just done a segment on the radio about Thomas Jefferson's dining room. We always thought it was Wedgwood blue, I think is what historically everybody thought his dining room was painted. But they did about 10 years ago further research, and they found out, no, his original color was chrome yellow. His dining room was like this really bright yellow with white trim, and it was all about creating this entertainment space where people would talk and feel energized because that's what he was after.
Wow.
So that's why we went with that yellow, because it tied into something we had talked about. But blah, 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 all of that to say, pushing the boundaries on that color, if we hated it, we had on that piece, we had, I think, 3 drawer fronts and the 2 sides and the very, very top of the dresser to repaint. It was tiny, tiny amounts of less than half a quart of paint. So it was worth pushing the boundaries just to see once what we came up with, and it worked. If it doesn't work, it's not like it's the end of the world. But I think what you gain from pushing sometimes is worth that risk. I mean, you know, that's just me. That's how it shakes out. And if I was hiring you, I would definitely be thinking maybe differently. I don't want you to redo this 12 times until I get it right. But anyway, before I let you go, where can people find you? We've already given that out. Let's give it out one more time. And if you've got any other projects that you'd like to, hey, check this one out, check that one out, by all means, send people wherever.
Again, I can be found at Midlife Revival on Instagram, Facebook, and I also have a website, midliferevival.com. And boy, I've always got projects going. I sometimes think my people think that follow me that I just jump around, but I get sick of something for a little bit, or I'm waiting for something to happen. But right now I'm actually doing custom work for a client who just moved into a new build, and her dining room table, chairs, and cabinet hutch were looking quite yellowy over time. So gonna brighten those up, going very neutral on that. But other than that, I am just working on painting inside my own workshop that has been put on the back burner. I found some cool pieces. And I just don't want like a normal workshop. I wanted to reflect what I do. Mm-hmm. So I've found some old pieces. I have a lower kitchen cabinet that I painted, and I found a hutch top, just the top, and I got that put on top of that. And so to store all my paint, and just working on some other little
pieces
in there.
Also just making your workshop.
Yep, I'm making my workshop. Yep, it's not a traditional guy's, it's not a guy's workshop, let's just say. We've got beadboard, but that's slow going. It just happens when I have some time in between projects. So,
well, it's a lot of fun to watch what you do. You chronicle it really well. You know, you tell us what you're working on. You tell us the steps. Yeah. And it's what other people do too, but you do it really well. It's really fun to travel along and watch. So I encourage everybody out there to check it out.
Yeah. And check out my stories, because I feel like that is where you will learn the most. The posts are really just the final product. So if you want to follow the process, you know, learn yourself what's going on, how to do something, that's where the stories are great for. So if it's a big project, like when we refinished or did this whole house renovation in the last 2 years, I put highlights in Instagram for that.
Definitely check it out. Really interesting. And you'll find things that will make you think and get you moving, and maybe inspire you to make a big change in your own homes. And you don't have to hire Patty to do it. You can, though.
Nope.
She's out there.
But you can, yeah.
But we can walk you through, too, if you've got something that you want to tackle on your own. All right, Patty Brummel from Midlife Revival, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And before I wrap everything up for the week, I want to let you know that Regal Select from Benjamin Moore is on sale for 20% off now through September 8th. So 20% off on Regal Select now through September 8th. Regal is one of the best paints you're ever going to use. And if you've got projects that are still on your to-do list, I do. That's no surprise to anybody out there. Oh, so many projects on my to-do list. If you've got any projects still on your to-do list and you'd like to get at least one or two of them crossed off, now's the time. You can get one of the best paints available at a great price. And I know I talk about it all the time on the show. And I know that when I talk about it, really, it's just me talking about it. You know, you're not going to find out the truth of what I'm saying until you try it. But good paint, high quality paint, really does make a huge difference in your project. It's going to last longer, it's going to wash up better and hold up better and all of those things, but it's also going to apply more easily. It's going to hide better. It's going to go on with less spatters and with less effort. You know, cheaper paint really does make you work for a good look. High quality paint is going to do a lot of that heavy lifting for you. So think about it for your next project. Stop out at any Repco Light location and get the good stuff. And if your project does call for Regal Select, remember it's on sale for 20% off until September 8th. All right, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of Home in Progress, sponsored by Repco Light Paints and Benjamin Moore. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you don't miss the next one. And you can do that by subscribing to Home in Progress wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a minute and you're feeling generous, leave us a rating, leave us a review. It helps more people find the show, and we really appreciate that feedback. And of course, don't forget to visit us online at repcolite.com, repcolite.com. You'll find blog posts, paint and design resources, and all of our past episodes. Thanks so much for checking out the show this week, and be sure to check in next Saturday when a new episode drops. I'm Dan Hansen. Thanks for listening.